Well, good, great morning. Today is Friday, September 13, 2019, and the time is now 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Welcome to the Southern California Connection Prayer Line Ministry. Sponsored by the Women's Ministry Department of Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church in Los Angeles, California. I am Diane Flemings, your moderator this morning, and I am moderating from Merlin. The scripture this morning is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Each morning, consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender your plans to Him to be carried out or given up as His providence shall indicate. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ. Praise the Lord. Steps to Christ, page 70. Again, that is Steps to Christ, page 70. Our speaker this morning is Sister Patricia, or she prefers to be called Pat Sheffield. And the reference number for the presentation this morning is 1021. And you can just be sure that you can call that number back, and later I will give you that information. Let's go to Sister Pat's bio. Sister Pat, known as Sister Pat, is a servant of the Lord in capacity of a medical missionary, and her name is Patricia Sheffield. Her duties in this God-supported Bible health ministry includes but not limited to promoting faith in God, teaching the world about the soon coming Savior, and proclaiming mankind's right to physical, mental, and spiritual healing through health reform. All of Sister Pat's credentials are heaven approved. While a student of the great physician, Christ Jesus, she has sat at His feet since 1999 in an intense study of health and the gospel according to the Word of God and Spirit of Prophecy. As a faithful ambassador of health, Sister Pat showcases the exalted preeminence of biblical health principles, along with using the practical modalities of healing ordained by heaven, profiling the head and not the tail of true medical science. Well, good morning, Sister Pat. And before I give the line over to you, Sister Pat, well, I would just like to offer a word of prayer. But we do have Brother Stanley. Brother Stanley, would you offer the prayer this morning? If I can unmute you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Father in heaven, we're thankful, Lord, for bringing us this far by faith to another preparation day, Lord. And we have been preparing all through the week since the last Sabbath to enter into your rest, Lord. So we come before you today as we are in our wretchedness, blindness, and nakedness. We are truly at your sins. We stand in great need today, Father, of those that have a great need of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and being used by us, Lord. So, Lord, we ask that you would forgive us, Lord, where we have fallen short, where we have not done those things that we should have did, we have not did everything to in order to perfect character perfection in the putting away of sin in our own lives, Lord. And I just ask, Father, that you would be with us as a people who are in the antitypical day of atonement. We are in dire need of your Holy Spirit. And there's so much that needs to be removed from our characters and from the characters of our brethren, Lord. But Lord, as we come before you today, we come with hope in our hearts, desiring to be cleansed, our thoughts, our feelings. The whole head is sick, as it says, according to the words of the Lord. Because of this, Lord, we don't understand truly our condition. And Lord, we just ask, Father, we pray that you would pour out your spirit today in a special way as we're entering into the rest of God. And Lord, we desire to enter into the Sabbath hours with our hands clean, to have pure minds and pure hearts, to have entering in not moving on the edges of the Sabbath, but we desire to have all that needs to be put away, all that needs to, that we do not enter into your rest without considering the sacredness of the Sabbath hours. So, Father, bless us with your Spirit. We pray, Lord, for those that are on the Central Filipinos prayer line, Pastor Rossetti, who's dealing with cancer, Pastor Chapman also, who's also having that battle, fighting also with cancer, that you would be with these men of God, these your servants, Lord, that you have chosen, believe to be shepherds over these flocks, Lord, that you would be with them in a special way. Strengthen their faith and their, as you are testing their characters, Lord, allow them to come through this test, cleansed and purified and made whole. We pray, Lord, that you also, Lord, would be with all those, again, that's on the Central Filipino prayer list that are dealing with different health issues, that you would be with them in a special way. Be with all the ministers and the families, and Lord, and we just ask that you would be with Sister Pat in a special way at this hour. Be with the message that you've given her to give it unto us, your people. Even now, hide her behind the cross of Calvary. Speak to her, Lord, the very words that I needed for this time, this time of atonement, the time where probation is so near to close, and majority of your people, we're not ready. We're not ready for our own probation to close, so Lord, and we're not ready for your second coming. So, Father, please have mercy upon your people. Grant us grace and bless us, Lord, according to your word, according to your will. We'll be careful to give you the praise and glory and honor. We thank you, Lord, so much for the provision of Christ, his work of cleansing the heavenly sanctuary. Father, please do a work in each heart this morning and those that will hear the message afterwards. Purify us, cleanse us, and create in us clean hearts and a right spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Stanley. At this time, we would like to invite Sister Pat to take the hour. Sister Pat, how are you this morning?
I'm well and yourself, Sister Diane. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine by God's grace. And I heard that everything went well over there in Washington. Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Yes,
praise the
Lord. Mom and baby are doing fine, I heard. So praise the Lord. May he continue to lead and guide you. So the hour is yours, okay?
Thank you. We're praying. Father in heaven, we just thank you. We cannot thank you enough. Great is your faithfulness. And as always, Lord, I consecrate my lips, my tongue, my thoughts to you, that they may be from from heaven's language, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you do and want to do on our behalf. Great is your faithfulness towards us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning and happy preparation day to brothers and sisters. And I am thankful to the Lord for another day of life, a day closer to his soon coming. And as Sister Diane said, yes, everything went well in Washington. And right now I am in Florida. The Lord allowed another delivery just this past Monday. And it was very interesting, the experience, because when I returned back from Washington on Thursday, I was scheduled to come to Florida on Monday. However, with Hurricane Dorian, my plane was canceled, and the mother had an estimated due date on Friday, the 6th. So she contacted me and said, Sister Pat, what are we going to do? Well, I knew I wasn't going to drive to Florida. And I said, oh, it's in God's hand. And as a result, the airport opened again in Florida. I reached on Thursday. Friday came, no baby. Sabbath came, no baby. Sunday came, no baby. But I want to praise God from whom all blessings flow. He delivered a 7-pound little boy on Monday afternoon. And mother and child are doing well. And I just thank God for being at the bottom end of life, where I get to see these little ones enter into this sinful world. But their loveliness, their soft skin. And I just want to thank God for the privilege of being a co-laborer with him. Also, interesting, on Sabbath, I got a call from one of my clients who was due in a couple of weeks, and she didn't get me. And when I listened to the message Sabbath evening, it was, Sister Pat, I think I'm in labor. And she's in another state. And finally I reached out to her, and I said, Lord, you know what's happening. You're in control. And glad to say, a couple of days ago I spoke to her. It was not true labor, and they're waiting for me as I leave here in Florida. But I want to share that as a result of the experience the parents went through here in Florida, they named their baby Dorian. Not so much after the hurricane, but the father said that Dorian means gift. And therefore, God is truly a merciful God. He wants to give his children so many gifts. And this morning I want to talk about, as I continue the parenting phase of these talks, how children are so precious in God's sight. And it always carries me back to Matthew 19, verses 14, where it says, but Jesus says, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Suffer, another word, allow the little children and forbid them not. And they are so precious, and that's why we must be very careful how we treat little children. It's very interesting. There are two other children in the home. One other I had an opportunity 2.5 years ago to co-labor with God to catch. And as her little brother came out, and after everything was settled, the little girl just stared at her brother. She saw mommy's stomach, and now she woke up and she saw a baby. And they are so precious. She just stared. She said, my little brother, my little brother. But I just thank God again for affording me this opportunity. And as I ponder the characters of my generation and consider the characters of my parents and those who have passed on believing that Christ was soon to come, I must ask, why hasn't Christ come? children are still being born. We're still going day by day. And I understand that nature is authored by God as well as his written word. And the two speak. That means the written word and nature, the same language, and each illustrates the other. So in my questioning the delay of the coming of Christ, I'm convinced that we must look at both the book of nature and the Bible. And it is true that Jesus worked miracles. He healed all manner of diseases and health problems, but he also used the common occurrences and directed some of the people to these to find answers to their lives. Today, there are miracles being done, but there is more being done in common occurrences, which is just as much the work of God as miracles. It was a miracle that Dorian missed Florida, and the damage that was done in Bahamas. Our hearts and prayers go out to those people there. And as I met with some of the people at church last Sabbath, I'm saying, God is so merciful. He's not willing that any should perish. And yes, he allowed the storm to move and not hit Florida as it had been predicted. So in explaining the growth and development of children and considering the importance of childhood is a phenomenal of the greatest import, I believe that it is. And everyone born after Adam and Eve were babies. And being born is a natural process that God ordained from the beginning of time. He designed that men and women would mate and produce children who would populate the earth, and it's being done. I tell you, even up to this week. And though there has been and will be child death, the population of the earth has steadily risen. But I always ask people in Genesis to Revelation, how many accounts of babies dying during childbirth have you read about? Well, I haven't read about any. And everybody always goes to Rachel. I said, babies. Now, babies are helpless creatures and need a lot of attention. And the attention they can get means life or death for them, or they may be crippled or handicapped for life. Babyhood is the foundation of families. They grow up to be parents themselves, and some become leaders and great thinkers, and no one knows the possibilities of a child, whether born in a poor or rich environment. In the sense of the baby's possibilities, it lies with the parents to carefully fulfill their duties toward their children. How many of us really contemplate, think about before we get pregnant, how am I going to order this child? The physical constitution of the child is largely determined by the physical constitution of the parent. And one thing I want to say about the two little children, girls that are here in the home where I am, one is 4.5, one is 2.5, and they are on 2 meals a day. That's it. And I think of the children of Israel in wilderness, 2 meals a day. And that's why I know God's way is best. And many people say, no, children need snacks. They need this. That's why so many children are obese or sick a lot of times because of intemperance in the diet. Parents feel because they're little, they got to continue feeding them, feeding them, feeding them. And that is not true. If you give them a healthy diet, a healthy meal at each mealtime, they can be satisfied and they can stay healthy. And as I mentioned, the physical constitution of the child is largely determined by the physical constitution of the parents. Therefore, they must be careful that before having children or even before marriage, they should make plans for the bringing into the world children who have sound bodies and minds. This will be honoring God who gave them these little treasures. raising children is like a garden. And I don't know if many of the listeners have even worked in a garden. For instance, if one would work a large garden with a tractor and a plow and later would cultivate it with a hoe or some other hand instrument, he would soon realize that he had made a mistake. Weeds will overtake the garden, and he would lose his labor. True, the farmer, he may harvest something, but his judgment, being poor, defeated him. He should have prepared only enough garden that he could manage. So it is with children. Parents should not bring more children into this world than they can manage. Somebody always throws at me, but the Bible says be fruitful and multiply. When did God say that? He said that in Genesis 1:28. But are we still holding on to that command? Because he was talking about bringing perfect children, because at that time the world was perfect. God's children, Adam and Eve, were perfect. Did any perfect children result from that command? No. Hence, children were born, and then this world became evil, and God says, I got to destroy them. I repent that I made them. Hence, he destroyed the world, and there were 8 people left. There were 3 couples, young couples, on that ark. And the command was given again, be fruitful and multiply. One child is a precious gift from God. And it is, if it is properly cared for and trained, it will show that the world is made a better place because of it. We can read that in Isaiah 35:1-2. If we lose sight of the preciousness of a child, we lose everything. All these children are so sweet. Even when they are disciplined, they are so forgiving. As adults, we are so unforgiving. But I love the spirit. After they play, I know the 2 sisters sometimes have challenges one with another. And I just, yesterday in our worship, I said, Jesus love you, and you're to have the love of Christ. And when they're having their little conflict, I said, remember the love of Jesus. And they say, okay, Aunt Pat. And the world has had enough of bad people who did not receive the care and training called by God. Every generation furnishes evidence enough that the next generation should shun. Still, the world is growing more and more wicked every day. So this morning, this talk is an inspirational talk for me, and I hope it will be for you. And if you miss the opportunity to train your child in the way it should go, don't give up. There is hope for everyone. Jesus died that we might have life and have it much more abundantly. He wants us to be honest with ourselves. We are precious in God's sight, else he would not have given his life for us. And as I turn to Romans chapter 4, I think about that hope. Is hope something that is seen? No. If it's seen, then it is not hope. But it says, but what has verse 3 said the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And brothers and sisters, this is righteousness by faith. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. We sing, oh, I'm in the work, I'm doing this, I go help people. Brothers and sisters, our works need nothing if we don't have Jesus or the love of Jesus. And verse 8 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And it's so interesting. Verse 9 says, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision always? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. When was that faith reckoned? Before he was circumcised or after? That's why I get a lot of questions today. Well, Sister Pat, don't you believe all boy children should be circumcised? And I say, no, that's the parent's choice. And they say, well, the Bible says. I said, we don't understand the reason God had Abraham to circumcise all the men in his household. And then after that, that was a ceremony. Why? Verse 11 says, for 11 of Romans, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Now, if mothers choose to circumcise their children, that's okay. It is not a sin. But if they choose not to, it is not a sin. And I had someone tell me, well, circumcision, I said, well, what does circumcision mean? It means cleanliness. And I said, show me that. And if someone's on the line can show me that, I haven't seen it, but I'm still learning. Show me where God required circumcision for the Gentiles in Acts, when the Jews were saying, well, in order to be one of us, you got to be circumcised. And God says, no, leave them alone. The only thing that were required of the Gentiles is Acts 15:28. It says, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. What were the necessary things in order for them to receive the righteousness by faith? That ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. But the brethren kept, oh, they're not circumcised. And I'm just saying, we say we are Seventh-day Adventists, but how many things we do God has told us to do, and we still don't do it. But if a mother chooses not to circumcise her child, she's sinning. You know, in Psalms 11:3, it says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? One of the things I have noticed in the work is that many medical missionaries don't deal with children. And again, the Lord says, suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And do you know Satan has taken the same principle that God has given for his people, for his church, to allow the children to come unto him, but the state says, or the federal government says, okay, I'm going to be like God. That's what Satan says. I'll be as God. So he says, suffer the little children to come unto me to be vaccinated. That's not what Jesus said. Because God says in Exodus 15:26, I will put none of the diseases of Egypt upon you if you hearken diligently. But Satan says, I'm going to put disease in your child. And then people, I ask people, why do we fear man more than fearing God? Well, they may take our children from us. And I'll tell you, they can't take your children from you unless God allows it. And many times the state or government takes our children is because we have given them over to them. Because God says, they're my heritage. You know, when I think of children from babyhood to childhood to youth, these are the different diseases and sickness that come about. Colic, asthma, fever, chickenpox, eczema, autism, pink eye, acne, colds, headaches, PMS, sickle cell anemia, epilepsy, ADHD, sore throat, leukemia, everywhere these sicknesses and diseases are coming upon our children. And some of them are unto death. Now, in the relief of sicknesses, we are bombarded with the faith. I know one of the little children here, the 4 and a half, she got a fever up to 101. There was a visitor that came, and they said, well, her fever's 101. And I'm saying, okay, that's a good thing. We did the proper treatment as far as doing the tippet bath, also putting an onion under her feet and put an onion in the room. God's natural remedies. Because she wanted to hold the baby, said, no, you must get better before you can come around the baby. So she did everything she was supposed to do because she wanted to go in and look at her little brother. But God has given us the simple remedies. But my heart aches when I read that a five-year-old, the doctors went in and did a mastectomy on a five-year-old because she had a tumor in her glands. She didn't even have breasts yet. But they removed everything, her tissues, everything. So when she gets older, she's going to have reconstructive surgery for her breast. Wherein, if the mother would have changed the diet, if the mother would have known God's healing way, she could have avoided putting her child through that. As I mentioned, healthy children do not just happen, and many parents and guardians fail to do the things necessary to prevent sickness and disease because of ignorance, negligence, financial difficulties, or other reasons. And children are a gift from God, and if they are properly cared for, it will show that society is made a better place because of it. I always ask the question, who is better qualified to care for their children? Parents. Those who feed them daily, who spend day and night with them, who know their every move, and who nurtures them. We call this familiarity at its best. Why do we seek an outsider? And whenever our children get sick, first thing say, go to the doctor. Do you know that is an offense to God? Because God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And in Jeremiah 46:11, it says, in vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. We go and we allow them to practice sorcery and witchcraft on our children. Upon every parent or guardian rests a great responsibility that if carried out intelligently, you hear that word? God wants us to be intelligent regarding his healing way. It brings reward beyond compare. And to your children, you are accountable in a great degree for their physical, mental, and spiritual health. The achievement of this depends upon you, parents. The reward is the untold happiness derived from a healthy child and a future free from those conditions that are the result of careless actions and mismanaged children. I tell you, it really puzzles me when I hear a child 2.5 years say, I don't want to eat that. I don't want that. I don't want that. And I'm like, and then the parent saying, well, what do you want? That child needs to be taught. It does not know what it needs. That's why you as parents have to teach them what they need. Parents must realize when it comes to their child's well-being that they are the most important members of the medical team. It is their duty to guide, nurture, and provide proper care for their children along the road of life. And God has a natural way. That's realistic, that's practical, and livable for babies, for children, for teens, and even for us as grown-ups, the natural way. And the information is priceless. It's insightful, it's informative, and it's empowering. Above all, today I hope that this talk creates an appetite in parents for more information and make them question why do they carry their children to the doctor and possibly motivate them to take better care of their health along with their children. Anyone who has taken their children to the doctor or hospital should instantly relate to some of the things that I'll be sharing. You know, rare indeed. I think there's only one natural remedies book that was written, I think, in the 90s by Dr. Agatha Thrash and another lady. I think her name was Phyllis. But that's the only Seven Day Adventist book that I have seen. But when I read in Second Selected Messages, Child Guidance, and Ministry of Healing, I see so many remedies and instructions on how we are to take care of our health. And there's herbal therapy. There's water therapy. We have the eight laws of health along with how to apply them. Simple natural remedies that work, that really make a difference. And we need instruction. You know, if you were given the opportunity to protect your children from autism, ADHD, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's, dementia, and many other diseases, I pray, brothers and sisters, and I'm sure you would take it in a heartbeat. And that's why today I'm sharing with you God's healing way for babies, for children, for teens. With this foundation in place, we can now tackle the health issues facing our children with the determination and knowledge required. Remember, if our children are healthy, we will not have to repair an adult. Did you get that? If we are healthy, we raise healthy children, then when we get older as an adult, we don't have to be repaired. Here's some parental insight. Can you imagine the world without children? What would it be like? Simply, you and I would not be here if this was so. And as I cannot emphasize more than once, every child born is the property of God, and your child is not your own, and you cannot do with him or her as you like. For he or she is the property of the Lord, as spoken in Psalms 127:3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. It did not say the children are the ward of the state. There are some of the health issues facing babies, children, and teens today, and these issues must be resolved if our children are to have lives worth living. I know I ran into a young lady who's 14 and she was having some female problems. I ran into her this past weekend at the church and she came over to the house, and when I'm listening at her health issues, I'm saying, at 14, you're going through this? And I know a lot of this is because of diet and constipation. When I ask parents, even the young people, how many times you go to the toilet? Oh, I'm having problems with constipation. I say, well, how many times do you go? Maybe once. I say, how many times do you eat a day? Oh, about three. I'm saying, you're constipated. When it comes to children, parental care is a personal duty and a sacred obligation given by God. As stated in this quote in Review and Herald, October 14, 1875, parents stand in the place of God to their children, and they will have to render an account whether they have been faithful to the charge committed to their trust. Today, a healthy lifestyle has not been achieved, and it's not popular in the home, and the values are not desired. We all know of the dangers of tobacco, of caffeine, of alcoholic beverages, excessive fat and sugar in the diet. sedentary living and junk foods, late hours, over-the-counter drugs, and excesses of every kind, one indulgence or any combination of those things can easily become a source of sickness or disease if persisted for a period of time. Parents' knowledge must be gained in regard to how to preserve health or cure disease. We always depend on others, even as grown-ups, to tell us about our bodies. I know with the young lady and also a couple of the young ladies that were here, I said, do you know where your reproductive system is and the parts? And again, as God's people, we don't know them. We have a delusion that health is unimportant during the infancy to teen years. And that's where, you know, our children can eat what they want to eat. If they want Coca-Cola, if they want a snack, give it to them. Sadly, there remains today too many parents under the delusion that it doesn't matter. On the other hand, some parents have a sincere desire to try and bring up their children to be happy, healthy, happy, and productive adults. It is within our power as parents to raise healthy children that will not be plagued by the curses. The solution is simple and have been given by God's command. Jesus had a high regard for the family unit. He is the one who set it up, so when we deal with the family, we are dealing with something special to God. In Adventist homepage 184, it says, from the light that God has given me, I know that the husband and the wife are to be in the home minister, physician, nurse, and teacher. Let me read that again. From the light that God has given me, I know that the husband and the wife are to be in the home minister, physician, nurse, and teacher, binding their children to themselves and to God, training them to avoid every habit that will in any way mutilate against God's work in the body, and teaching them to care for every part of the living organism. So when did godparents release us from our duties from being the medical team in our home? We encourage everyone to go and search it out. Unless you have done your own research, you should apply caution before using or reacting to any information or another's experience. You know, many people call me and say, Sister Pat, what do you do for this? And I try to educate the parents. Because if I tell you what to do, but if you don't understand the why, then it's not going to mean anything. Just like doctors, when we go in, we say, oh, my daughter did this, and he say, take this. But he does not tell you or she does not tell you why that child got sick or why even as we get sick. As parents, go on your knees and ask for wisdom and knowledge in applying natural remedies. Most of us are afraid of natural remedies. I don't understand it, but we're not afraid of the nostrums that we give our children, those deadly. Have you ever heard of a doctor prescribing Synthroid for a baby, for a five-month-old baby? Yes, I have. Ask God to empower you with the principles of Jesus Christ so that you can be practically equipped to perform natural modalities on your children. No one, however, can make you skillfully in using them but yourself. You have got to put the tools into practice if you want to see results. But we turn over our duties, our children, to other people. We encourage you to give the treatments your best efforts as you adhere to the following counsel, which is in Ministry of Healing, page 127. The use of natural remedies requires an amount of care and effort that many are not willing to give. Nature's process of healing and upbuilding is gradual, and to the impatient, it seems slow. In the end, it will be found that nature, untrammeled, does her work wisely and well. Those who persevere in obedience to her laws will reap the reward in health of body and health of mind. As much as possible, take the time to read up on the natural remedies and go over them over again and again. This will not only develop your skill set, but will also provide you with the confidence needed to share and help others. To obtain health for our children, it's like driving on all kinds of roads and encountering all kinds of weather. As parents, if you do not develop a four-wheel drive mind capacity, you will struggle to navigate something as small as an anthill. Throughout our children's lives, health may be an anthill or a mountain obstructing your way unless you are empowered with a 4x4 mindset. And for those who don't know what a 4x4, you can set it in different gears. You will not get very far, and you probably will give up. If you get stuck in the snow, 9 out of 10, if you don't have a 4x4, you're going to need help to get out of it. Instead of giving up, though, have your 4x4 mindset on. Recite God's promises, which can inspire you to persevere. With God, there is no failure. God, in his wisdom, at times will allow challenging or painful situations to arise in our lives. These situations are not meant to destroy us, but intended to help us grow in our Christian experience and to mature in the way God wants us to. The Lord allows your child to get sick because he can't get your attention any other way, so he allows the child to get sick, but he wants us to call upon him. In the school of experience, failure can be success in disguise. Successful parents are like spring. The harder they are squeezed by the difficulties of life, the further they will bounce when released. As parents, many of your efforts will be filled with ups and downs, joys and sorrows, clouds and sunshine, hope and anxiety. Even at times, all of your efforts may feel overwhelmed by the responsibility that accompanies this opportunity. And I know I had a friend who called me at midnight to tell me that her child is wheezing, and she didn't want to take her daughter to the emergency room because she knows what they do to them because she was a pediatrician. Now, listen at this. A pediatrician, the daughter is wheezing, and she didn't want to take them to the emergency room. Hello? That speaks volumes. Why? You work in that field, but yet and still you choose not to use what they recommend. Remember, parents, your primary goal is to do your best and allow God to do the rest. I told her the hydrotherapy treatments to do, and she did it, she and her husband, and she said her husband finally went to sleep at 3 o'clock. She said, this is labor intensive. I said, yes, wouldn't you do anything for your child? She said, yeah, my husband went to bed and went to sleep. She said, but I had to continue. Mothers, that is the word God has given us. But never give up. It is easy to throw up our hands in defeat, but I encourage you to follow God's example. He has not given up on us, but has done and continued to do everything he possibly can to win each of us back to him. Cast your cares upon our Heavenly Father. He cares for you and your child. We really don't believe that God cares for us. We are to pray that God will override our limited human understanding and fill us with his wisdom and truth. We can read that in 1 Timothy 2:15 and 1 Corinthians 10:31. Pray daily for strength, wisdom, patience, and all other virtues we may need as parents. And Proverbs 3:5 says, lean not to your own understanding to undertake this most important responsibility, your child's health. Parents who are serious about their child's health should use the Berean principle as recorded in Acts 17:11. Now the Bereans examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Such parents will examine the suggestions and methods that is shared with them or ask questions, and very closely as they examine to see if what is being shared is according to the law and the testimony. Parents have a solemn work before them. Fathers and mothers, do you realize the importance of the responsibility resting on you? God has entrusted us with the most prized possession. In ST, Signs of the Times, September the 10th, 1894, paragraph 5, it says, let it be remembered that children are not to be treated as though they were our own personal property. Children are the heritage of the Lord, and the plan of redemption includes their salvation as well as ours. Remember, the plan of redemption includes children's salvation as well as ours. They have been entrusted to parents in order that they might be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that they might be qualified to do their work in time and eternity. If parents are negligent in doing the solemn work committed to them, they will have to meet their account at the judgment seat of Christ. Others are doing it. Listeners, you can too if you're not. It's time now to get started with our children's health. But first things are first. We must study to show ourselves approved unto God. We must. And God is watching. We must remember the promises. All true healing comes from God. It is far better to prevent disease than to know how to treat it when contracted. Ministry of Healing, page 128. And in closing, Second Selected Messages, page 471, paragraph 1. I appeal to you, mothers. Do you not feel alarmed and heartsick in seeing your children pale and dwarfed, suffering with catarrh, influenza, croup, scrofula, swelling appearing upon the face and neck, inflammation and congestion of lungs and brain? Have you studied from cause to effect? Have you provided for them a simple, nutritious diet, free from grease and spices? Have you not been dictated by fashion in clothing your children, leaving their arms and limbs insufficiently protected? Has been the cause of a vast amount of disease and premature death. Did you hear that? Leaving the arms and limbs insufficiently protected has been a cause of a lot of disease and premature death. There is no reason why the feet and limbs of your girls should not be in every way as warmly clad as those of your boys. Boys accustomed to exercise out of doors become injured to cold and exposure and are actually less liable to colds when thinly clad than the girls because the open air seems to be their natural element. Delicate girls accustom themselves to live indoors and in a heated atmosphere, and yet they go from the heated room out of doors with their limbs and feet seldom better protected from the cold and while remaining in a closed, warm room. The air soon chills their limbs and feet and prepares the way for disease. Hence, parents, let's tackle the task of caring for our children. Let's rise to the occasion and do our best because the King is watching. We're praying. Father in heaven, once again, we thank you for this time we've had to sit at your feet to learn of you, to hear what you have for us to do for our children, your heritage, Lord. We ask forgiveness for where we have fallen short, but great is your faithfulness towards us. Help us to be wholly thine. Teach us, Lord, your will, that we may share it with others as we do it ourselves. Be with those that are listening and those that will listen on the playback, God. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit. And Lord, let us seek your counsel in everything we do, even from having children to their health, to their education, everything, Lord. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory which is due you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Pat. I mean, you know, you would take for granted that parents would know that these things aren't good for their children, but yet they still try to soothe them and pacify them with those type things. So this is a timely message, and I pray that those that are on the listening line and those that will go on the playback will understand exactly what you're saying and take heed to it. Thank you so much for bringing such a timely message. And Sister Pat, do you have time to give a closing comment and to have the closing prayer?
Sure, yes.
Okay, well, I'll just open up. Now is the time for us to... give our comments, prayer requests, or just... you know, speak your mind right now, and Sister Pat has a listening ear. Sister Joni from Wisconsin. Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning. Happy Preparation Day. Thank you for moderating, Sister Diane. Mm-hmm. Good to hear you, Sister Pat. I was going to try to call you and leave a message that you can always use me as a resource if you couldn't make it there in Florida. I heard, I think, your last time on, and just because of how God has led me, and I so believe, your talks on God really is the one that delivers the baby. My husband could testify of that because, except for the first one, he has delivered the three other ones. And so we really have to, it's kind of a scary thing we're not used to, but if I would have had a different midwife with the first one, she was fearful and an hour away, and I was coming so quickly, she had told us to go to the hospital, and I barely made it. It was very uncomfortable. It would have been much nicer to had the confidence to stay home and somebody to encourage me. But anyways, I'm glad you are safe in Florida. I want to quickly just say there's other books besides Dr. Agatha from Nature's Warehouse is a really informative magazine. I don't know if you've heard of Be Your Child's Pediatrician. I'm not saying that word correctly. Pediatrician, I'm sorry. And then Be Your Own Doctor 1 and 2. These books are really nice. I know Be Your Own Doctor is actually from some Amish. Maybe you know Rachel Weaver. And then I just wanted to quickly, because I don't want to take too much time, when we were going to have our children, we were blessed to be friends with the Thrashes, and I was counseling Dr. Agatha a lot, and I asked her about circumcision, and she actually gave us the choice, said it was no longer a God-given rule that we had to do like the Jews, and was actually... perfectly fine, and that is what we chose, not to circumcise. But I will say I still am bothered sometimes by these Well, I have a friend that's into the lunar Sabbath that, oh, you know, you have to be, if you're not circumcised, you know, you do it now, have those boys be circumcised or whatever. But, yeah, I think it's very plain in Spirit of Prophecy that that does not, yeah, that does not save us circumcision. So even a doctor like Dr. Agatha, yeah, was very balanced in how she taught us that as well as we were young at all this. And the last thing I just really quick wanted to say, Sister Pat, you probably read this, have you, in Facts of Faith? And I would just advise everyone, anyone that has children, it's easy to remember because I think it's the second to the last article. It's called In Facts of Faith, those little black books, if anybody had them long ago, and it's page 151. It's well worth your time, 151 to 154. And it's an experience that James and Ellen White had with their little Willie in the winter of 1864. They had just buried their other son, and he had this lung disease, and they decided not to call the physician, and they would do their best using water and entreating the Lord. And they were pretty wore out. They knew the crisis. I don't know how they knew it would come. They expected the seventh day. But he spent much, much time in prayer, and she did. And she even had someone else watching that child that last maybe night. They did, because they were exhausted, of course. And she dreamed. And he told her an experienced physician was standing by her child, watching every breath, with one hand over his heart and the other feeling his pulse. And then she had problems with fresh air because of the wood stove, and she was told to open that door to give relief. And God said, we'll give you relief. We'll give your child relief. He needs air as well. And he came up, and the Lord said that he would come up speedily, for he had not the injurious influence of drugs to recover him. So this has been a blessing to me, this just to read this Spirit of Prophecy. But
okay, Sister Joni, we have two other people on the
queue. Yes, I'm done. Thank you. So God bless you, Sister Pat. Yeah, appreciate all you.
Brother Stanley.
Yes. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for what you were sharing. It's really, really beautiful. The things that God teaches us, and let me see. I can't remember which one it was. You gave one. Adventist Home. Adventist Home. What page was that again? Adventist Home. That you read from, Sister Pat.
I'm looking for her.
Okay.
I don't see her on. Oh, there she is. Okay.
Okay.
Sister Pat?
I'm sorry. I got thrown off and then I came back on.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Adventist Home. Yes. Let me see. Adventist Home. Stanley, I'll give it to you. I'm trying to think. I know that was Reviewer and Herald, Ministry of Healing. Oh, page 184. I'm sorry, I didn't. Being the minister, the physician, nurse. 184, paragraph 3.
Oh, one other thing. You said the raising of our children is like as a garden. Could you repeat that section again about the raising of our young children is like as a garden?
Yes, you know, if you have a big plot to have a hole, or, you know, to try to deal with a big plot without hands and the equipment, it's not good judgment. But, you know, work small, start small and grow. That's basically what I was saying. And people have a lot of children and they don't deal with the one they have, then they get a lot, and then they're overwhelmed.
Okay, thank you.
Our next caller is Sister Jean Evans from Texas. Good morning, Sister Jean.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity. I am so grateful to hear Sister Pat's presentation. I have a friend who will be having a baby pretty soon, and I listened to Sister Pat about her shower versus, you know, that in the Bible, really, there wasn't anything about a shower. However, because it's a cultivated culture, I am the one putting on the shower, but I was trying to do it in the form of a baby dedication. So I find it very difficult to divert from the shower principle. Do you have any suggestion as to what I could do to bring about more like of a blessing to the child, where instead of focusing on the gift, it will be more like giving some biblical principle and parenting? Any suggestion?
Well, yeah, that's very interesting, and I thank you for your question, because we try to take what God has said and kind of fit it into how we want it. Interesting, there was a church member who some people were planning a shower for, and they, you know, we just said, we've studied showers of the world. Now, this is the thing. Then the husband said, well, okay, we'll give it. And people don't have to bring gifts. No, people are going to bring gifts. Dedication, the baby is to be dedicated once it's born. Because I asked the question again, what if the baby is stillbirth, God forbid, but I've seen it happen. So then how do we remedy that? You know, we've had this big shower. She's got all these things. Why can't – does she know what she's having?
Yes, it's a boy.
see, that's what I'm saying. We take all the joy and the excitement and the from what God has planned for us. So I really don't know how to – because at baby showers you play games. It's all about entertainment.
Yes. Well, she didn't want the games. She was asking for practical principles.
Oh, well, that is excellent. As giving cards, like, did you know, and have everybody read the did you know counsel or from the Bible that this, because many things people don't know. Because were you familiar with that a parent should be the minister, the physician, the nurse, and teacher? Are you familiar with that?
No. This is the first time I was hearing it this morning.
Okay. But I guess trying to bring God in it, you can share the law and testimony, but the celebration doesn't come till after the baby is born.
Okay. Thank you.
So I'll be praying for you. I will.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. But I get an idea. Thanks.
Yeah, okay.
Is there anyone else that would like to have a question, comment, or prayer request? Just unmute your line, *6. Brother Stanley, you have something else you want to say?
Yes, thank you.
Sister Joni.
Yes, thank you. If you could keep my husband Jim in prayer. He woke up this morning. You know, he cuts lots of wood, and his lower back is just tender, and he could hardly walk. And so I was thinking of some ideas, maybe you all. I was just thinking of Sister Joyce's good muscle massage cream and greens. I think it's magnesium, isn't it? When we're in pain, it's a lack of magnesium maybe, and yeah, and he cut a lot of wood on Sunday, so I don't know. Sometimes it takes days later. Big logs that he's always working with every week. So thank you. Just that he could get relief that will get some green smoothies or whatever he needs to have relief there. Thank you. And I did mention yesterday I have a cousin that drowned on Saturday evening, a kind of freak accident in Wyoming, and they haven't found him yet. So just keep my Aunt Teresa in prayer and her five kids. Yeah, thank you so much for their brother.
Amen. Okay, Brother Stanley.
Yes. My last question is, you spoke about Adam and Eve after creation. Could you expound on that just a little bit before you close?
I think Sister Pat has been knocked off again because I don't.
No, I'm here. I'm
there?
Sorry,
okay,
I was talking.
Okay. I just
yeah, I'm sorry.
You on the board.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I guess I'm in the queue. Everyone born after Adam and Eve were babies, and that's what I was saying. Adam and Eve were not babies. They were born as created as grown-ups, and that's what I was saying when I mentioned about Adam and Eve, and that God gave the command to be fruitful and multiply while they were perfect, but that didn't happen.
Amen. Brother Stanley, did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Well, we have someone else on the queue. We have Becky from Glendale, California. Becky, how are you this morning?
Good morning, sister. I am fine, thank you.
Praise
Question. Yeah, been listening to all this new advice that I am hearing. I have a prayer request in Central Filipino Church. We have a sister, pastor gave and the congregation gave anointing to her because she's discouraged because of Parkinson's. If we can, we just don't have to mention her name, and a named sister in CFC, pray for her and her husband. And is there any new something that we haven't heard that can help someone with Parkinson's, all of this shaking? That's one question. And then the other question is, I know sports drinks with high fructose are not healthy. What do you know or can you say about them?
The monster drinks, all the energy drinks, they are deadly. They have caffeine plus, like you said, the high fructose, and they are not good for the body.
What's the source of fructose? Is that fruit
sugar?
Sugar?
But it's processed sugar. It's processed sugar. High fructose.
Just plain sugar from...
No, it's sugar that's been processed. White.
Oh,
fructose
oh.
is white. Yeah.
So it's not healthy.
No, it's not healthy.
Sports drink. I am afraid because I know someone that takes it. It seems to me like it's as bad as drinking soda.
It is also as bad as drinking coffee. People just go from coffee. Coffee is a drug which brings us up like a high, and then it brings us down. That's what those energy drinks do too. It's just a source of caffeine to lift us up.
Caffeine and excuse me, unprocessed sugar. That's what it is. What I thought. That's what you think too.
Oh, yeah, you read, and there's too much information out there about these monster drinks and these energy drinks, which even the world says is not good. But as God's people, the best beverage is water, and if we do, we should get fresh juice. But,
okay.
Yeah, so, and Parkinson, interesting. Anybody ever read Al Wolfson's book, on healing, and it was very interesting what he said. If people don't know who Al Wolfson was, he was a medical missionary back in the day, and he was in Texas, And he has a book out. I don't think it's being published anymore, but somebody left me with it. And it was very interesting what the cause of Parkinson was. And offline, and I've dealt with people with Parkinson, and just asking them, ascertaining the cause, and asking questions, it was very interesting that their sickness lined up with the cause. And I'll tell you what it is, and it's not a one-size-fits-all, but he had mentioned in his book, in The Natural Remedies, that one of the cause for Parkinson was pride.
Is it?
And was pride, P-R-I-D-E, and
oh,
a lot of pride. And it was interesting. I had a couple of clients with Parkinson, and as I dealt with them, that was their one of the causes. And God hates a proud look. He hates pride. That's one thing he hates. And many times we think we're not proud, but we can internalize pride in ourselves knowingly and unknowingly. But I'm just sharing, that was it. And in my two clients, I'm not saying this person is pride, because there are other causes of Parkinson, but that was one that was interesting I saw. And as I continued dealing with people with Parkinson, it was interesting.
So what, is there anything we can do to relieve the shaking that you have learned or known?
Well, the shaking is a result, but see, I always ask people, the emotional factors, we skip over those. There is unforgiveness, there is anger, jealousy, bitterness, pride. Those things affect the body. And I'm not saying this person has that, but I'm just saying we're dealing with the symptoms, the shaking, but we need to get deeper to deal with the heart issue.
Okay, thank you so much.
Amen. Our next caller is Sister Joyce. She's on the queue. Sister Joyce.
Yes, thank you, Sister Pat, for here to talk. I can deal with Parkinson's and tell you what they really need. I'm a distributor for Pure Herbs, and they have one called Broad Beans. They have another one called Skunk Cabbage. They're 4-ounce liquids, and the skunk cabbage is for the shaking particularly, and the broad beans feeds that natural dopamine into the brain area. And a person can get over the Parkinson's. So, Becky, you may want them to call me. They take a credit card, and I sell it all at wholesale.
Sister Joyce, but in dealing with the symptoms, what have your ascertaining the cause, what are some of the causes that have affected the body to, have those symptoms?
Well, I'm sure it's what you said. I haven't really delved into that part of it, I guess. But anyway, they've got...
I was just wondering. Yeah,
that's okay. Thank
well,
you.
One thing I wanted to mention was that, we're told to whatever disease... Sister White says it's only one disease and one cure, and that whatever the disease is, the first thing we need to do is just cleanse the system, and to rid the body, she said, ascertain the cause, change unhealthful conditions, correct wrong habits, and then assist nature in her effort to expel the toxic waste and to reestablish the right conditions within the body. And so that's one of the first things we should do. And of course, and we're going to always consult the master physician, to ask him, what should we do? But as far as the mental and the physical, they're so connected that you can't separate them. And so what Sister Pat said was very valid. And the thing about the natural remedies as far as the herbs and the tinctures are concerned. That's very good. And one other thing, Sister Joyce, have you heard of fava, the fava bean?
Yes, I have. But let me just tell you this. I told the lady that has Parkinson's about cleansing, about God's diet.
Mm-hmm.
That is very, very important.
Yes.
And this lady is a non-Seventh-day Adventist that I'm working with.
Okay.
But I told her, I said, you can't eat the meat and dairy products. She was doing some of that. And so she said, I'm giving them up. So, excuse me, she's willing, was willing to change her diet. So I'm just praying that God will give her a testimony of his healing power.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, he's the great physician.
That's wonderful. Okay, is there anyone that would like to say something in closing before Sister Pat have the prayer? Okay, well, at this time, we're going to end the session. Okay, thank you so much, Sister Pat, for coming on. Can you give a closing comment now?
And yes, Sister Diane.
Thank you so
much. In closing, Job 14, 7 through 9, I thank God for Jesus, which is our blessed hope. And it says, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. God is in the business of restoring us. And we know Nebuchadnezzar, he had to be cut down, but a stump was left. And I just pray that we will take hold of the fountain of life, which is Christ Jesus. And it says, through the scent of water, it will bud and bring boughs like a plant. God is in the healing business. And our closing scripture is Psalm 67:2, and many of us should learn this and keep it to memory, which it talks about that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. God has a way, his healing way, and he wants it to be known among all nations. He has given that to his people. We're the depositories of his truth, of his healing way. It is for us to share it as leaves of autumn with those we come in contact with. So it is my prayer that we will become those trees, that we may grow in Christ Jesus. We're praying. Our dear, kind, and gracious Heavenly Father, you're so gracious. You're God of the universe. There is none like unto you. And we thank you for this opportunity once again to sit at your feet and to learn of you. We thank you for being God who never sleeps nor slumbers and who loves us with an everlasting love, that you desire us to be your sons and daughters. And we just pray, Lord, that we will truly submit ourselves to you, not in this carnal nature, but walk in the Spirit. Because when we are carnal, we have hatred towards you. We know that the enemy wants to be like you, and he is doing everything to gather this whole world under his regime. Lord, but you have people who have not bowed their knee to Baal, and we just pray we are one of those people, Lord. We know that you allow sickness, in our lives for whatever reason, and we know that you're the great healer. And those who lost their lives this week, Lord, we pray that they died in you and that their probationary time has ended, but we pray, God, that they made their calling election sure. We must come up higher, Lord, and we want to be wholly thine, but we need you to teach us how. And we just want to enter into your Sabbath without defilement, Lord, in word, deed, or thought. Forgive us for our sins, our trespasses, and our iniquities. Be with the young lady or the couple that are experiencing Parkinson, Lord. You know, and you can speak to their hearts, Lord, and that you can let them know the things you require of them. I thank you for your procedure that has been done, anointing when we have sick, to call upon the elders, Lord. Let us get back to the old paths and know that as Jesus did his miracles, he said all of his works were from you, and that the works he did, we will do greater, Lord. So cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory which is due you. Be with everyone on this line. You know each of our hearts, Lord. Cleanse us, purge us, and that we may be like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Sister Pat. Thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. And we know time is precious. So we just want to thank you and just praying that God will continue to be with you in your ministry and that he will continue to lead and guide you. And you have a wonderful preparation day and a blessed Sabbath.
You too. Thank you, Sister Diane.
Oh, you're welcome.
Diane.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Joyce. I didn't give my phone number for...
Okay, well, go ahead and give your number.
Becky, so she can have that lady call me.
Okay.
It's 931-498-2844. So maybe you can call her and tell her.
Got off, okay. That sounds like a plan. Thank you so much, here.
Yeah, you're welcome. You have a blessed day and a wonderful Sabbath.
You too.
And everybody else on the line, thank you.
Amen. Okay, as you have listened to the message today, let that be an encouragement to you all and all of us to study the scriptures and the spirit of prophecy to know the truth and avoid deceptions. And for those that are young enough to have children, then you can take the message at heart. But us that have passed the childbearing age, we can share that with other parents, younger parents, rather, and even grandparents. The reference number for this presentation is 1021, and it's available anytime by dialing 721-451-1068 and enter the access code, which is 373047#, and the reference code as well. Our speaker for tonight, I think we're going to just have praise and testimony. We want to welcome again Brother Jerry Trevers as our regular speaker every other Friday. So next Friday, you will hear Brother Jerry Trevers starting. And he will be presenting a series on God's creation. And that's something that we all need to know. And the final call ministry conference call of Gwen Shorter, I don't know how that turned out, but it was the second Sunday of of September the 8th, 2019. And it was Floyd Mayweather, Mayberry, excuse me. And his subject was simple remedies with profound results. And so, you know, I pray that someone was able to listen to it. But if you want to just call the playback for that presentation is 712-770-5061. And the PIN for that presentation is 868979#. All the presentations are available anytime at our website, www.cfwplm.org, and the edited replay is also broadcasted at www.swmradio.com 4 times every day. 60 countries can now join the call for free. And you can also be able to give them that number as well. And it says also, please check our website, cfwplm.org, for details. For suggestions, comments, testimonies, and prayer requests, email us at socacconprayerlinealert@gmail.com. And I have another request here. It says, Daniel diet fast experience happening in 2 weeks. Join us for an initial meeting for new participants on Sunday, September 15, 2019, at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The fast will begin the following Sunday, giving some time to prepare and order your DDF book. Join a non-judgmental and supportive group to fast and pray with. Text here to sign up to get the call number. Call in at 626-464-7825. Again, that number to call in is 626-464-7825. Please stay faithful and keep watching, praying, and working with us until Jesus comes. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord, our precious Lord, Jesus Christ. And that comes from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now, this is the Southern California Connection Prayer Line Ministry committed to preparing God's people for the soon second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just would like to say that I just pray that we will be able to enter in on this preparation day, get everything prepared so that we can enter into that rest with our altogether lovely Jesus Christ. And I want to wish you all a happy Sabbath. God bless you and goodbye.
Could I ask you a question before you hang up, Sister,
yes,
Sister Booker?
Yes,
Anthony Shia.
No, this
Shia.
Is Diane Fleming.
I'm sorry, Diane Fleming. I'm sorry, Diane Fleming. Okay. Fleming, okay. My question is, you know, there's another speaker. His name is, I think, Anthony Shire. And he always speaks on a Thursday. And I missed one of his presentations, but I don't have the reference number. It wasn't the one. He did speak yesterday, but he spoke another Thursday before that, that I missed a presentation. And I wanted to get the reference number. Is there any way that you can you see that in your computer? Hello?
Oh, I am sorry. I had muted myself and I went over to look at the the time and the reference numbers, and I was asking a question, which one did you have? Was he yesterday morning or yesterday evening?
Oh, for Auntie Nishaya, he spoke yesterday morning.
Okay.
I have the one for yesterday morning. But okay. the message that he gave a prior, that's his message before that, the message before September 12th, he gave another one on another Thursday.
See, I don't have that before me. And so, maybe what can happen, Brother Stanley, give me your number.
Okay. Area code 213.
Okay.
610.
610.
3989.
Okay, Brother Stanley.
My direct cell.
I'll try to get you that information. You want the Thursday before.
Yeah, the last Thursday he spoke before September 12th. Where he spoke. I want to get the reference number for that one.
Okay, September.
And the date also, if you can give me the date.
Okay, sounds like a plan. Thank you so much,
okay.
Sir. Okay, God bless.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you. Have a blessed preparation day.
You too. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.